And so now we just went from this idea of saving $23,000 a year for retirement to saying, no, 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 no. You only need to save about $6,800 or $6,900. You know, what is that? That's about 30% of the TSP max. But you only need to save about $6,800 or $6,900 per year from your paycheck into your TSP, and you've got retirement pegged. Don't even worry about it. Welcome to Service and Wealth, the podcast dedicated to helping military personnel master their finances and achieve financial freedom. Our mission is to guide you through the ins and outs of planning, saving, and investing, and most importantly, how to balance savings so you can enjoy life now and retire with confidence. Everyone, I guess, the whole world, right? So it is 03:44. And so you may ask yourself, why is he up recording at zero dark 30 if he's no longer in uniform, right? Like, that's supposed to be only for, you know, when you're in the fleet or you're, you know, in division or deployed aboard ship. I don't know in all the services exactly what you would call it, but you know, when you're in the fleet in the Marine Corps, that means you're part of the operational forces, and you do things like show up at the armory at 03:30 so that you can do a weapons draw. And you know, maybe, you know, for me as an officer, like when I was a new second lieutenant, I was like, well, that seems early, but let's go. And you know, then you're there with your Marines and, you know, and docs, and everybody's freezing, you know, even in the desert at 03:30 in the morning, and when you're not even awake, you're for some reason cold. And then, you know, somebody's passing around a can of dip and there's the smoke pit and everybody's waiting. And then, you know, 05 rolls around. And you're like, we've been here for an hour and a half. And that's why we all talk about hurry up and wait. But you finally get your weapons out and you're like, okay, all right, cool. I don't know why that took so long. Took me 20 seconds at the window. There's 200 of us. Should have taken an hour, right? And then you get a little bit older. And so, you know, in my experience, that's usually like a first lieutenant, like an O2, or probably like an E6, like in the Marine Corps, like a staff NCO. I know that's not quite the same cutoff for staff NCO from NCO in all the branches, but at that point, you get to like peek behind the literal curtain. And you realize that, like, you know, the armorers were told, like, you can't show up until the same time we do. And then, so they show up. But then nobody ever called, you know, like the tech guys who run they're like a civilian contractor out on base, and they run like the alarm systems for all the buildings. And like, nobody called them and said, hey, at this building, make sure that you turn off the alarm so they can get in their armory. So, you know, everybody's just been standing around for an hour and a half waiting for somebody to come in and do their job, and it's usually tech related. And so, you know, that kind of relates to this, because last week we put out a podcast about emergency savings, and it was supposed to be a visual episode, right? And I then spent like probably the equivalent of 10 hours, like at least a full day's work, trying to figure out how to make that, you know, the video from that recording upload. And I totally failed. You know, there's a handful of you out there who subscribe to the YouTube channel, and all I managed to get up was like a YouTube short and didn't get anything. I learned many lessons about file size. I mean, I felt like the, you know, the FPS and that I was recording at was correct, and et cetera, et cetera. But apparently I still don't know what I'm doing. So that kind of fell flat on its face. But what happens then is, you know, just like when you're late to open the armory and get weapons draw, then all of a sudden you're late to get your drivers over to dispatch to get the trucks, and then you're late to the field, and then you miss the, you know, it's just a, just one thing after another. And so by the time we got through to the point that we, you know, had to like put up the white flag and say, okay, I don't know how to do this and I got to stop trying. Missed the recording window for this episode, which was, you know, I would have needed to have done that by a certain time in order to do the production, create the episode online, and then schedule the publication. So here we are. We're already late. And, you know, instead of just like getting up and doing it later, just made sense to get up early and do it and get it out of the way. And then we can move on with the week, right? And hopefully this still catches the majority of you. You know, if you are subscribed and you are getting the every new episode delivered to you through podcasts or Spotify, or, you know, you can even go to our website, militarywealthcoach.com/podcasts, and, you know, listen to the episodes there. So hopefully this still gets to the majority of you in time for listening during your Monday commute or maybe your Monday gym session, because we're in this episode 4, we're continuing the story arc that we've started with our very first episode. In episode 4, we're calling Balancing Act, Building Wealth and Enjoying Your Life. All right. And so the first one we called Unconventional Finance, and it was all about savings tips. And we gave you some tips like, hey, look, if you really want to improve yourself, if you know, you come out of the working class, you come out of the middle class, maybe middle upper, even, you know, lower class, you know, starting from nothing. If you want to take whatever level you are right now and you want to improve your life, like a whole level up, right? Like you want to go from driving a minivan to driving a BMW. You want to go from driving a BMW to, you know, having a Range Rover and a Mercedes. You want to upgrade from there, you know, that from there, that's going to be a big, huge jump, right? And like probably beyond anything that I could talk about because I'm definitely not there. But if you want to, you know, level up your life, you have to put in work. Like nothing comes for free. And so we said, look, the way to level that up is use the military 40-40-20 savings rule, which is 20% of your income's going to taxes, all kinds of taxes, which is about right for everybody. Even E1, you know, even if you're only paying about 5% of your total base pay in federal tax, you're still paying 7.65% of that in Medicare and Social Security tax. So at the very lowest level in the military, you're still paying 12, 13, 14% of your income. And then as soon as you're, you know, in the E3, E4 range, and definitely as an officer, your effective tax rate is 15 to 20%, and it just goes up from there. And so this military 40-40-20 rule is really accurate in saying 20% of your total compensation is going to get thrown at taxes. If it's less, that's a good thing then, right? If you only end up paying 15%, that's an extra 5% to throw back in your budget. And the 40-40 was 40% for your lifestyle expenses and 40% for savings. Essentially, you're making a deal with yourself that I'm going to use half to live my life now and I'm going to save half for tomorrow, right? And just keep adding up and adding up. And eventually, I'm going to build this wealth and I'm going to enjoy a better lifestyle than I ever could have on my paycheck alone. And then we, you know, in episode 2, we said the military savings order of operations. And we, you know, and recapping this stuff is important. We're not just repeating ourselves because, you know, or I'm not repeating myself because I'm an officer or, you know, a retired officer. And like, that's how officers are trained. And they just say the same thing 3 or 4 times. Like I'm repeating it because it's an important to tie it all together. And because today is kind of like why we show why this makes sense and why it will make your life better. I wish I could do it one episode. I should practice that and I will next time. Maybe I'll do a blitz episode and like put it all together really fast. But anyway, you know, second episode is your military savings order of operations. It says when you first have to fill up your emergency savings fund. And if you can, at the same time, you're saving for retirement. And those are like the two non-negotiables, right? Because the emergency savings fund is to keep you out of debt, pay for stuff so that you don't get in financial trouble. So you don't have a real world emergency, like a broken car or a sick family member you got to go see, turn into a financial emergency in which now you have debt, credit cards, payroll, payday loans, you know, things you absolutely have to avoid. especially like auto loans and things like that. You know, and then in that the third episode, we just talked about like how do you set your emergency savings fund so that you know when that first bucket is full, right? If you only need to fill your first bucket of emergency savings up to $8,000, once you fill up that $8,000, don't keep putting it in there, right? Because now you're just over saving. You don't need 3 to 6 months worth of income or expenses when you're in the military because you've got a guaranteed paycheck. You've got, in most cases, you've got food and housing provided, right? Like it's just not necessary. But you also can't spend it. If you've been saving $500 a month into your emergency savings fund to build it up, once you hit your goal, you can't just now take $500 and start getting, you know, Chick-fil-A 5 days a week. That $500 is still part of your 40% savings plan. And so it's got to go someplace else. And retirement is the other non-negotiable because one day, even if you want to keep working, you're not going to be able to mentally, physically. You know, maybe you'll just be a different person at that time. You'll be like, actually, I didn't want to work when I'm 80, right? And so you are going to retire, which means you do need money. And that's what brings us into episode 4, balancing act. And the reason why we call it balancing act is because, as we all already said, with this 40-40-20 plan, you're already kind of splitting your take-home pay in half between now and the future. And to a lot of people, that feels like way not chill, right? Because if I'm, you know, I'm just thinking of like a sergeant who's still in the barracks, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, per DOD regulations, like if you're below an E6 and there's some sort of housing provided, like you're supposed to stay there, which means on a monthly basis, you know, you're making $3,600 before tax. After tax, you've got like, you know, $3,000, and you're supposed to split that. You're supposed to live on $1,500 right now and live on $1,500 in the future. And that's actually super easy to do so long as you don't have debt payments. You could probably live on even less than $1,500 because your food is provided, your housing provided, your utilities are provided. You, like, technically have your phone and some fund money, and you could be massively saving, like, $2,000 plus a month. But in general, you know, once you either, you know, if you're a junior enlisted in the barracks and after taxes, you have like $2,000 a month, you know, so long as you don't have a car payment, living on $1,000, saving $1,000 is pretty darn easy to do. But once you're out of the barracks life and you're on BAH and you have housing out in the community and you have your own bills, you're providing all your own food, you're paying for all your own transportation, it can get a little bit more challenging. It can feel a little bit harder. You know, maybe that sergeant now, they're, in addition to the $3,000 after taxes, they have an additional $1,200 in their budget from BAH. So they have $4,200. And what we're saying is the path towards financial freedom requires you live on $2,100 and you save $2,100. And that might be really hard to do, but you have to do it. And the reason is as follows. If you don't do it, you're just going to work for 43 years. You're going to work for 43 years and you're going to be in your 60s. You're finally going to be eligible to take retirement benefits, to live off your TSP savings. If that doesn't sound fun to you, you know, working 43 years and kind of like hoping and praying is your financial plan, right? If you want to, any time between now and then, do stuff, have stuff, upgrade your life, get a better car, buy your first house, buy a bigger house, own several houses, travel the world, start your own business, any of those things, you've got to save money for. You can't, you know, just put it on a credit card. And if you're saving only 15 to 20% of your income, you've got to save it all for retirement, just in order to have enough to retire. And so you have to look at it and just say, like, what am I doing? Is now, when I'm looking at this breakdown of the 40-40-20, it's not really 40 in savings and 40 for spending today. It's 15% is for my retirement when I'm 65 and older. And then 25% is investing in myself from today until 65. and I'm still getting 40% to live on today. So when you break it down like that, just on this big number, you know, big picture, big blue arrow bit, you're still getting like 2/3 of your, you know, your disposable or discretionary income, like the money, you know, again, because like we said, you will have to retire. Therefore, saving for retirement is required. So you have to, and you also, you're required to pay taxes. So you got to wipe off the 20% for taxes and you got to wipe off the 15% for retirement, which means you're already giving up 35% of your money to the government or for you 40 plus years from now. So your pie was really only 65% anyway to start. And you still get to eat 2/3 of that right now. You still get 40% for your living expenses. And then that other 25% is going to building the wealth that is going to help you do things that you dream of. And you just have to ask yourself, like, for 25% of my income, right? And again, on this, you know, like on the sergeant, the E5 example, you know, for $800 or $900 a month, I can eventually afford my dream life. I can have all the things that I dream of if I just agree with myself right now to save it and invest it. And so what you end up doing is you end up creating balance, right? You're balancing the now. You're balancing the way, way future that nobody wants to think about. Like, honestly, that's one of the biggest reasons I didn't start saving a penny for retirement until I was in my 30s. Because I was like, I'm not sitting on this money for 40 years. Like, I might not even be alive then. That sucks. And so I didn't do it. Well, eventually you realize that like 99% of us are going to definitely make it that far and definitely be wishing we had a good retirement account balance in our thrift savings plan. So, you know, save for it. Non-negotiable with yourself, just do it. And then get over it and come back to the table and get ready to start breaking down the rest of it. Now, the balance comes in, and this is why we call it a balancing act, is because you're not just balancing now and your dreams in the next 5, 10, 20, 30 years and your retirement. It's also a balancing act of just the next 5 to 10 years of your life and the whole rest of it, okay? And I wish I could remember the guy's name. You know, it's just something when I was like mindlessly scrolling at like 9:30 at night after a full day of work, and some guy on Instagram was just saying, like, you know, financial freedom is yours to have if you want it. It's just a simple choice. Do you want to grind for the next 60 years of your life, or do you want to grind for 10 years, and then the 60 after that, you have financial freedom and can do what you want? And that's really where the numbers work out. And so you'll hear me click and move a little bit in the background here because I do numbers. I like numbers. I like spreadsheets. I like figuring things out. That's why we created the whole channel and the whole brand and the website and everything. The Military Wealth Coach is because we like figuring stuff out and then helping other people figure out their problems or their challenges or figuring out how they accomplish their goals. And so I've got some spreadsheets open and, you know, like I said, we're lo-fi, so I don't have like all the, you know, the, like when you go in and do your annual hearing test and they got the soundproof booths, like I don't have that. I'm sitting at a table with a wobbly leg and my little cheap Chinese microphone stand. You know, I just accidentally touched it and you probably heard that. someday, right? But so I've got the spreadsheets open, and here's the thing about these spreadsheets and the numbers is we show examples of these in our courses that we have. Right now they're not quite finished, so you can just go to militarywealthcoach.com and you can sign up to be on the pre-order for our first mini course, and then you'll get it for free. And with that, you're going to get your very own budget worksheet that you'll get to download for free with that if you opt in up front. And then as soon as it's live, you'll get an email and you'll be able to download it, and you can take the course at your own pace, and you can use the budget worksheet however you want. Hopefully to follow the military 40-40-20 rule, right? But anyway, so I've got these open, and I've got these spreadsheets open so I can see my numbers while I'm talking to you here. And I want to first talk to you about the cost of not having balance, right? So let's look at the first extreme of no balance. And that's where you're like I was for the first 15 years of my working life, right? Because, well, college plus working life. So up until, you know, I was like 33, 34. And I was like, I'm not saving for retirement. That sucks. Like, I either want to get rich, like, overnight and, like, you know, so I'll buy these penny stocks. And, like, if it goes up to a dollar, like, I'll be a millionaire, right? And that never happened. But I didn't save for retirement. And so what's the cost of not saving for retirement, where your balance is all the way over to I'm spending every penny I can to enjoy my life right now. Today, this week, this month, this year, everything is being spent. And from this year to next year, I am not moving the dial at all in terms of increasing my savings balances, increasing my net worth, improving my overall ability to afford a better car, a bigger house, or anything, right? And if you do that, you're going to get to your 60s, and you know, the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, says if you have a retirement plan and you want to take money from it to live on before the age of 59 and a half, you're not going to enjoy the tax-free benefits of a Roth account, and you also have to pay a 10% tax. So you could pay income tax plus another 10% tax as a penalty. There are ways to get it out early. There's the rule of 72, there's the rule of 55, and there's a rule of 50, which we're not going to go into here, but there are ways to start living on your retirement savings early. But if you make one single monthly withdrawal mistake in any of those, you lose the protection from those rules, which means all of a sudden you go back to being taxed and penalized. So there's no flexibility. Once you're on it, the IRS has got you. And it's also a very select few people, and it's a lot of paperwork, and you're probably gonna have to pay an accountant to do it for you. So it's not ideal. And the worst reason is that if you start withdrawing your retirement from your TSP, let's say you have $1 million in there at age 60, and or even at, you know, 55, and you figure out how to take it early, you're gonna miss out on $1 million. If you could just wait another 8 to 9 years, based on average historical returns on a stock portfolio, in that amount of time, your total portfolio would double. So if you can just get into your 50s and have $1 million and then wait until you're like about 65 to withdraw, it will double and you have $2 million. And your life will be at least twice as good as it was if you rushed, right? And then there's also the Social Security Administration, and they say full retirement age is 67, and early retirement is at 62. So, you know, if you retire 62 and you want your Social Security, because that's all you can count on, they actually reduce your payment by a third. So you're only getting, by a quarter. So you're getting basically like 75% if your lifetime benefit was supposed to be, say, $2,000 a month. They're only going to give you $1,500, and it could still be taxed, right? So between the Social Security Administration and the IRS, you've got to wait till at least 60, ideally 67, to start pulling your money from those accounts. And so you've got to work until, that's why I keep saying, like, you're gonna have to work for the next 45 years until you can retire if you depend on them. And then what do you get? Well, let's say you only get Social Security. The average benefit for a single person is $20,000, which is also the federal poverty line, right? And the average benefit for a couple is only $35,000 a year. That's not much above the poverty line for a household of two. And so if you just decide, hey, I'm not going to save for retirement, I'm not going to stay 20 in the military, I'm just going to live my life fast and hard and blow through all my cash, what you're doing is you're putting yourself in a situation of losing in two ways. You're going to have to work 45 years until you're eligible for retirement. And then when you start pulling your benefits, you're going to be living like about at the federal poverty line. And if I hold those two things up and ask you, okay, which one is worse? Like, would you rather save for retirement in your thrift savings plan, or would you rather live at or below the federal poverty line as your reward for a lifetime of hard work? Like, which one's worse? And I feel like even though it's a long ways away, it's not hard to say that, like, living on less than $20,000 a year or $30,000 a year, you know, with your spouse or whatever, I feel like 99% of people be like, that I don't want that outcome. Okay, you've convinced me. I'm going to save for retirement. All right. And so we already push back and show there's no balance in spending all now. You're way out of whack and your finances are going to be in big trouble. And so what happens then is there's a pendulum swing, right? And it's like in the election years in the United States, like we're in the middle one right now. We're not going to talk about it at all. That's somebody else can touch that one. But things kind of swing back and forth, you know, in America. We like pick one person. We're like, yeah, they're going to be great. And then we're like, oh, no, they're just like the, you know, 42, 43 before them. So then we go pick somebody who's supposed to be the opposite. And we're like, no, this person, like, this will be much better if we do this. And then it turns out they're just like the 43 people before that came before them, right? And we're like, oh, what do we do? How do we find a good balance? Well, the same is true here with financial advice in the military. And I guarantee you've heard it, and you hear it especially from, you know, mid-career to senior officers and senior enlisted who are like, yo, just, hey, you better be maxing out that thrift savings plan. You'll max out your Roth TSP, right? Like, they keep hammering home that plan. Well, who knows what the maximum that you can save each year into your TSP is from payroll deductions, right? It's in 2024, it's $23,000. That's more than an E1 or E2 even makes before taxes, right? So let's just, you know, immediately wipe that off the board as like not even possible for like, I don't know what, half of the military. But for those for whom it is possible, what does it buy you? If you follow that advice and you say, okay, I'm going to max it out. I'm going to put $23,000 this year into my TSP. And I'm just going to keep doing it, right? And if you're doing that, again, what we said is if you're only saving for retirement, you're guaranteed you're going to work for the next 45 years until you actually retire, because you don't have any other wealth. You don't have wealth that you can get to now. You don't have any usable, accessible wealth. You don't have other investments that are paying you income to make your life better before you're in your 60s. But that max TSP strategy executed over 40 years, you know, if you stay in the military for 40 years, like, good on you. There aren't a lot who do. But obviously, if you do, you're going to end up, like, you know, getting driven around and Suburbans and like Harrison Ford movies as you're with like three or four stars or, you know, the senior chief, whatever. So you're going to have a great military success, but that's 40 years in the military and 40 years of maxing out your TSP. You're going to hit like 65 and you're going to have 7.9 million. Even you might even have by like 60. If you start at 20, cause you're enlisted, by age 60, you're going to have $7.9 million in your TSP. You can withdraw $625,000 per year from that account, and it will last you until you're at least 100 years old. Like, that's crazy, right? Because if you saved in or you converted it into Roth money, you don't pay tax on the withdrawals. So you're literally, by following this TSP maxer mantra, you are swinging your pendulum all the way from going to, I'm going to spend for 45 years and then I'm going to retire into poverty, to I'm going to save for 45 years living in poverty, right? Because if you, I mean, even let's look at like a, you know, an O2 who's with BAH, you know, after taxes, if you're still after taxes bringing $70,000 or $80,000 and you're putting $23,000 into your thrift savings plan, like, that's a lot of money you're locking up for retirement and you're living on a much reduced paycheck, right? So you might go for 40 years never living on more than like $100,000 a year because you've done this max retirement savings, and then all of a sudden your birthday hits, you get the first check from the thrift savings plan, and you're like, whoa, I went from living $100,000 a year to $625,000 a year. Well, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. There's no balance there, right? Because if you had saved and invested that money in a different way, you could have been leveling up your lifestyle year after year for the 40 years going into it. And you would still end up at the same place, right? Because you're still saving and investing all that money all those years. You would still end up with the same amount of wealth, but you would just be spreading out over the decades and like getting more money sooner. And so that's where we get to this balance, right? Like we went too far on one side by not saving. We go too far on the other by only saving for retirement. And so we have to come back and we have to start investing in other non-retirement things in order to actually start to enjoy our money and build wealth. And so as we've said before, and we'll say it often, so long as you have about $2.5 million in your thrift savings plan in your 60s, you'll be fine. All right. At the most conservative calculation, $2.5 million is going to pay you $100,000 a year forever. And you have a 99% chance of dying with way more than $2.5 million in the bank, right? So that is the safest planning you can do. $2.5 million will pay you $100,000 tax-free on top of, you know, the $20,000 to $35,000 you get from Social Security, on top of VA disability, and on top of a pension from the blended retirement system if you stick around for 20 and retire from the military. So you could very easily be living on $200,000 a year plus, which is a pretty, like, that's going to be solid, you know, and that's ignoring any other investments that you have. And how do you get to $2.5 million? Well, so long as you're between the ages of 18 and 23, just start saving like $575 a month in your TSP. When you add the matching contribution to it, and then you let that go for 20 straight years, and then you stop and let it grow for another 20 to 25 years, you will have your $2.5 million. So it's relatively cheap, right? $575 is within the 40% savings cutoff of the 40-40-20 rule for military savings for any rank. Everybody can afford it so long as they're willing to save that much. And the best part is, once you save that $575 per month, so long as you do it for 20 years and you get the match, so even if you leave the military and you go work for some other agency or other company, or go work for the family business, so long as you're getting a 5% match on their retirement plan, you never have to increase it from $575. And so then, you know, by the time you're a sergeant, now that's only about 15% of your base pay is for retirement. You know, if you're an O2, like, you know, now it's like what? Like it's less than 10% of your base pay. By the time you reach O5, it's only about 5.5% of your base pay. And by the time you reach, you know, E8 or E9, it's only about 8 or 9% of your base pay, right? So it's super affordable. It gets cheaper the longer, like the sooner you start it, the longer you do it, it gets cheaper every year. And so now we just went from this idea of saving $23,000 a year for retirement to saying, no, 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 no. You only need to save about $6,800 or $6,900. So only about, you know, what is that? That's about 30% of the TSP max. But you only need to save about $6,800 or $6,900 per year from your paycheck into your TSP, and you've got retirement pegged. Don't even worry about it. You're good. Well, if we do that, that means all of a sudden there's another potentially up to $16,000. Again, if we were saving 23, we've freed up $16,000 to do something with. And the tendency is to go spend it. The problem is, if you go spend it, then you're back in that very, you know, very same trap of the TSP maxer, in that you don't have any extra income, you don't have any other accessible wealth, you don't have any way to improve your lifestyle beyond your paycheck. And so you could spend the next 45 years just gradually climbing that ladder, getting up to like, oh, now I'm making $100,000 a year. Ooh, yay. And then you hit retirement and you start drawing your TSP and you're like, wow, now I have like $200,000, right? So you've failed again in balance. The key is to take that $16,000 and now start investing it in other things. Real estate, right? Real estate's great because once you purchase the real estate, as like rental real estate, and you move tenants in, they take over paying all your bills. There's a little cash coming back to you, but that property is growing at the same time that the rents are growing, right? So in year 1, 2, 3, you might see absolutely zero profit. But by the time you get out to 5, 6, 7, 8 years in the real estate game, not only has the property been increasing in value each year. So you're building net worth and you're building wealth. Rents have been going up. And on average, you know, depending on your market, they go up 3 to 5% per year. And so now you're generating cash flow, right? And so now you're adding income to your portfolio. And just having two or three rentals, you know, within the next 5 to 10 years, within the first 5 to 10 years of owning those rentals, you can start having $1,000, $2,000 of extra monthly cash in your pocket. And that means you're leveling up your lifestyle now, right? You can invest in stock portfolios. It's a little more tricky and less tax advantage. You can buy businesses on like LoopNet. You can syndicate and create funds with your partners and friends, and you can go make investments in all sorts of different things. You can use money and you can create your own little, you know, Turo and Uber business where you actually, you know, lease like two or three nice cars, and then on the weekends you rent them out on Turo. People pay you money. It's just like rental real estate, you know, and their money they give you pays the lease on the car. And then you have extra cash coming into your pocket and you're building a business, right? And all those things start to create balance because over 5 to 10 years, you are increasing your income and you're increasing your wealth. And that wealth will keep reinvesting and growing. And what you really do see is after about 10 years, like if you took a straw poll, 10 years is like a reasonable amount of time to have enough investment income to match or possibly cover your expenses or possibly, you know, match your military paycheck. If you start out at $24,000 and after 10 years, you know, you're making $60,000 base pay, or, you know, on the officer side, you're making, you know, what, like 100 base pay? I'd have to double check that, but you can very easily within that 10 years have built up a portfolio of investment properties and other, you know, assets, businesses, rentals that's bringing you in $60,000 to $100,000 or more of additional income. And that's where we go back to that meme quote that I brought up earlier, which is grind for 10 and then enjoy the next 60 or grind for 60, right? And there's no free lunch. There's no point at which you're going to just pass go and collect your $200 and like not have to put any work in. You're not going to just start taking a paycheck in the military and suddenly be wealthy, right? Like nobody even expects that. But if you can sign yourself up for 5 to 10 years of living as cheaply as you can, you know, driving a used paid for car that you don't finance, maybe carpooling. Like if I could do anything over again from my late 20s and early 30s, it would have been carpooling. Like instead of spending $1,000 a month on that stupid truck, I would have just like, I mean, I live with other lieutenants, right? Like I could have just been like, hey, dude, can I just get a ride to work today? Because we actually work in the same office and we're on the same schedule because we're in the same company, right? Like it was stupid, but we all had to drive our own vehicles. And over the course of like a 3-year PCS, that cost me what, $40,000 or $50,000? When I could have just carpooled, right? So there's a lot of things you can do by tackling, you know, your housing and your transportation expenses to free up the cash now to put yourself on the 40-40-20 rule, save and invest 40% of your total pay before taxes and including VAH. So add it all up, subtract taxes. Now you're saying, okay, well, base pay plus VAH is $4,900. We'll round it to 5,000. I know I'm going to pay 1,000 in taxes and I can live on 2,000 and I got to save and invest 2,000, right? Like it's super simple to do math-wise. There's no multiplications, just split it up. And, you know, that's on the one hand, it's going to get you to that 2.5 million, in your 60s. So your retirement is going to be locked on, especially if you stay in the military for 20 years and get a pension. Then you're looking at being able to live, you know, from your 60th birthday on, you're going to be able to live on like $250,000 a year, right? Like you're going to be at a minimum. That's a minimum. That's like just guaranteed money. Between your TSP and your pension and your Social Security benefit. But then all that other money, what does it translate into? Okay, and I just want to leave a couple examples at the end, kind of show from a basic, because you know, obviously, like I've pushed real estate already and like explained how it can start producing wealth sooner. But let's just say you don't want to deal with that, right? Like, let's just say you want to go with the simplest possible investment strategy to financial freedom in the military. We've created that. And, you know, in our upcoming book, The Ultimate Military Retirement Plan, which we're looking to publish before Labor Day. So by the end of August, we hope to get that out. Don't hold me to it, right? Because life happens. I'm a dad and things happen. But, you know, if I have any control at all, which again, that's also showing how ridiculous I sound, right? Every dad out there should know, like, you don't really have control of your, not even your own life, right? Let alone your kids and your house. if you were just to say, I am going to take a simple strategy and I'm going to follow the 40-40-20 rule, and I'm going to save my $575 a month to the TSP, and then I'm going to save up to that 40% limit, and I'm just going to put it in a brokerage account with Schwab, Fidelity, Vanguard, Robinhood if you really want to, but you're going to probably get ripped off on fees. I'm not sponsored by anybody, but that's just my opinion, man. and you're just going to save up to the 40%, so the difference between the 575 and your TSP and the 40% total savings rate. And you're just going to do that for the next 20 to 25 years. What is going to end up happening is right around your 45th birthday. And it depends when you start. Okay, so if you're 30 right now, then this is not going to happen for you. We're assuming that you joined the military and you started this plan. And even if you're like, you joined like 1 year, two, 3 or 4 years ago, you can still just oversave a little bit right now and like use any sort of reenlistment bonus. When you deploy all the money you save on taxes from, you know, being deployed in like combat zones, use that to catch up. But so long as you can, when you leave the service after 20 years, have been following this 40-40-20 rule and been saving and investing your money in a stock portfolio at a brokerage. Nothing more complicated than that. At about age 43, an officer is going to have about $1.6 to $1.7 million in that account. And an enlisted is going to have that same amount of money, about $1.6 to $1.7 million. It's going to take them to about 46 or 47. Okay, so it's really hard to catch up. If you go up to a 50% savings rate, then you can also, at the age of 43, have 1.6 million. Okay. It's just a little bit harder because you don't make as much, right? Which, sorry, I don't set the rules or the pay scales. But if you can get yourself to a portfolio value of $1.7 million, you can live off of $180,000 annual dividend from that portfolio, and it will last you for 17 years. All right. So if you can, as an officer, follow 40-40-20 rule, when you're 43, you retire after 20 years. In the background, your TSP is going on its way to hitting $2.5 million in your 60s. And then you have this other brokerage account of $1.7 million. And you can live off of up to $180,000 a year from that for 17 years, which will take you into your 60s, which means you can essentially guarantee yourself that after 20 years from the military, you can retire for good, like a real retirement, not just like I'm hanging it up and I'm going to go, you know, try to get a job with Raytheon or, you know, become a GS-13 someplace, right? Like literally work 20 years in the military and be retired in your 40s. You know, and for the enlisted side, again, it's you can get there. It's going to cost you more than 40% of a savings rate. But let's just say you stick to the 40-40-20 rule. You hit your 20 at age 39, you're going to have right around $850,000. So if you need to maybe go get another job, maybe you've also got some real estate or you've got enough of a pension and disability coming that like it can tide you over. Because you just got to wait about 8 or 9 years until you're like 47 and it will have doubled and now you'll have your 1.7 million and that'll last you. It'll take you all the way into your 60s. So now you're fully retired. You're living on six-figure income, doing absolutely nothing thanks to the fact that you diversified out of retirement and you balance your savings. You balance retirement savings, you balance future investment in yourself savings, and you balance your current spending. And so obviously, like, this creates for you the ability to work up to a six-figure income over the next 10, 15 years. And then you kind of like stabilize, and then your investments start kicking in, and now your income keeps going up, keeps going up. You're not limited by your rank. You're not limited by your job. Once you leave the military, if you're working construction or teaching or finance or whatever, you know, you don't have to worry about trying to work 80 hours a week and trying to grab overtime and get like bonuses and all that stuff. You've already got all this other wealth and all this other income. By the time you're in your late 40s, and definitely by the time you're 50, you have got more than enough money to be fully retired, living on a high six-figure, $200,000 or more income. And by the time you're in your 60s, you can have spent through all of that money that you saved and invested during your time in uniform, and now your TSP is going to come in as reinforcements. And so, in my opinion, right, like, to just kind of conclude, right, you can live at your paycheck your whole life, and then drop down to the federal poverty line when you retire in your 60s. I think we all agree, like, that sucks. You can live at a very lower level, you know, like your paycheck minus your max retirement savings, max TSP contribution, where you're living at $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $70,000, up to maybe $100,000 over the next 40 years. And then suddenly your max TSP starts paying you back $500,000 or more a year. Again, not balance. Or you can balance out your savings, and for the next 10 years, you're going to be living a little bit, you know, more humbly, we'll put it, right? You know, for us, the way that we were able to get on this savings plan is, instead of having two cars that we were making payments on and living in a large house that was like, well, we're middle-class white people in suburban America, we should live in this 2,000 square foot house. We were like, let's downsize, let's cut it in half, let's get rid of the cars, and we'll just have two used cars that have no payments, right? We didn't even give up. Like, we didn't give up going to restaurants. We didn't give up a Hulu subscription. We didn't stop paying for like our fitness app. We didn't stop drinking coffee. You know, like, you don't have to do any of that little nickel and dime stuff. You can just go at the biggest expenses in your budget. And for us, it was, you know, housing. Let's cut our housing way down, and let's absolutely obliterate these auto loan payments, you know, that are costing us $1,000 a month plus, right? And that was all it took. We still had cars. You still have transportation. Your lifestyle is not taking any punishment. The only thing that takes a little bit of a hit is your ego, right? The difference between driving an $8,000 used Honda and a $30,000, you know, Dodge Charger that you're making $700 a month in payments on, the only difference between those two cars is your ego. But they both get you from A to B. They get you to work. And guess what is also in common? You only drive them like an hour a day. You're at work for 8-10 hours a day. You're sleeping for 6 to 8 hours a day. You're at home for 4 or 5 hours a day. The car should not be taking up a third of your income if it's only taking up a tenth of your time, right? And so if you go after that, you attack your housing costs and you attack your transportation costs, and you don't have a car payment, drive a decent used car, and live in a smaller house, or even just renting a room instead of your own place, you will save enough to get yourself on the 40-40-20 plan. Do that for the next 5 to 10 years. Take the savings, invest in assets that pay you income, like real estate or stocks and bonds, even crypto, start your own business, whatever you feel like you can do well. And after a decade, you are going to start massively increasing your income and your lifestyle. And within 20 years, guaranteed total financial freedom. I've yet to see anybody who's not achieved that. And most people have in like 10 years, honestly. But that's balance, right? Like you literally created this extremely comfortable lifestyle for the next 60 years of your life, or longer. You know, if you lived to 100, you might have 70 plus years of living at this better lifestyle, just because you decided for the next 5 to 10 years you were going to put in the hard work, balance your savings and investments, and pursue financial freedom. And so that's what, you know, that's sort of the proof, I would say. You know, if you could put yourself in a position that you were making, you know, like just kind of to wrap things up here, like just imagine yourself, it's 2035, right? The year 2035. So about 10 years from now, maybe you're still in the military, right? And the military is paying you and you get $100,000, after taxes from them. And that sounds great. But you also, from your investments, you're getting another $50,000 in dividend income and you're making another $100,000 off of rental properties and rental vehicles and business that you bought. And like, which sounds better? Which sounds better? Now that you can really kind of picture it and dream it, do you dream of just making six figures but only having that one paycheck and still working and that's it? Or you're making more money from your investments and you have the freedom to do whatever you want. And that's balance to me. And that's how we kind of define it. And so as a final plug, you know, we go through examples of this in our courses that you can sign up pre-sale now. And if you sign up pre-sale now, you'll get the course for free, as well as a free budget worksheet and some other planning worksheets. We also put it in our books, and we'll talk about it, you know, continue to talk about it on podcasts and in blogs. And, you know, eventually coming full circle, I will get this YouTube thing sorted out and we'll have some more shorts as well as some long form videos up there to talk about this kind of stuff and show you visually, so you can actually see the numbers and believe it. And finally, if you really, you know, if you are interested in this kind of lifestyle, you know, the grind for 10 and then do whatever you want for the next 60, if that sounds like something you want to try to achieve in your life financially, and for yourself and your family, you can go to our website, militarywealthcoach.com, and you can sign up right on the above the fold, right on the landing page. You can sign up for a free consultation. You just book your call with me in Calendly, and I'll give you a call, and you can tell me your goals and your challenges and where you are, and I will let you know what I think is possible for you, and see if there's something that we can do together. So I encourage you to check that out. And in the meantime, again, subscribe here, whether you listen to podcasts on Apple or Spotify, please subscribe. And also opt in. I also would love it if you opt in to our emails, go to a website. You can opt in there and then we'll send you out a weekly digest with updates on the products that we've got coming out. So you can stay in the loop on that. And finally, follow us on socials. We're on all of them, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, you name it. And it's either going to be Military Wealth Coach or MWC112358. That's MWC112358. All right. So, you know, again, we're late getting this out. Had a lot to say, kind of bring this first month of podcasting full circle and tell the story. And we'll get back on it. So we will be back on schedule with the live releases coming out Sunday night by next week because we're not behind the eight ball anymore. So thanks for listening, and until next week, stay financially fit and mission ready.